All right, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Coming off a long weekend. I hope everyone had a longer weekend than normal. Memorial Day weekend. I had a great time with my family, and it was nice to have that, you know, that day to spend with my family. So looking forward to this month. I believe it's the military table has 2 months out of the year, I believe, right? Or is it only one? Well, last year, I think you guys may have had two, because you guys have one of the bigger tables. Last year, the military table had 2 months out of the year, and Jason said that they didn't do that good of a job, so we brought them back down to one this year. So we're going to be closely monitoring this month and see how that goes, and we could always bring that down to half a month or, you know, maybe give the first responders 2 or 3 months, because they got, I think, 3 tables now. So okay, so I didn't realize that today is actually a National Donut Day. I didn't realize that that's why there's 9 boxes of donuts this morning. That's awesome. Awesome. Looking forward to this morning. Joe, I believe you're introducing this morning's teaching fellow. Why don't you come on up? The military table is spearheading this month. Joe Sparrow is going to come up and introduce really individual who doesn't need to be introduced here at Ironman, but we're going to do it anyway because he deserves that, so he needs to be.
Morning, everyone. First, I'm going to ask you guys to do something that's really, really, really hard to do. It's harder for me than it is for most of you. I'm going to ask you to take a knee, and then I'm going to say a prayer. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you this morning seeking grace, mercy, and an education from you. We will get that from you through someone that you're sending. This morning, that will be the person that I introduce. But let us not lose track of who we are supposed to be holding up. Jesus Christ is the only one that we have to hold up, and that's the one that we're looking to. I pray, Father, that all the men in here today will have a heart like David, will have a mind like Jabez, and have a victory chant like most of the warriors that David had in his army. But Father, I just give thanks, praise, and honor to you for all the men that are here. You know, we don't have to be here. We get to be here. And we choose that because of you. And we just ask, Father, that you teach us today through your Holy Spirit, and you guide us into all that you have for us now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we pray. Amen. This morning, I'm going to introduce to you guys someone who really don't need any introduction. That's from the youngster who brought me here. Jason is blessed to grow up in a home where his parents demonstrated the love of Jesus, both inside and outside the home. A lot of us in here don't have that. It set a strong foundation as he served both in the Marine Corps and the Navy. Jason has served in West Orange community since 2001. He's attended and served in various roles in local churches and ministries, has been a part of Iron Man for about 8 years, founded the military table. He's currently employed as VP of program management for consulting firm that hit number 58 on the 2022 Inc. 500 fastest growing companies in America. He enjoys doing life with Julie, his best friend and wife. He's a proud dad and a bonus dad to 4 guys and 1 gal. He seeks to transform groups into elite teams to attack the gates of hell. He loves playing pickleball, working with a chainsaw, smoking cigars with others while discussing life. We can't discuss life without discussing Christ. Otherwise, we're not discussing truth. Jason, when I met him here, I didn't know much about him, but as we grew, what I found out about him was this. He's a straight shooter. He likes to lead, and he doesn't mind taking a little back seat every now and then. I call him a friend. I call him a warrior. So I give to you, Jason.
Good morning. How you doing? You guys always get left behind over here, don't you? So, gotta take care of me. But it is an honor to stand before you, men. Privilege to get up here and share, you know, what God's laid on my heart. Get to speak a little bit about something from the Bible. My desire is to honor and glorify Jesus while encouraging you in your faith as God draws you and draws others through you to a closer relationship with Him. Yeah, for all of us, our journey is getting to know God better to share Him with others. So, Yeah, the closer we get to him, the better we walk, the easier it becomes to kind of demonstrate God's love to others. And so that's my desire for us this morning. Please stand as I read from God's word here. It'll be pretty short. Judges 7, verses 7, 8, and 12. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go every man to his home." So the people took provision in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. In verse 12, "And the Midianites and Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance." So I've frequently thought about my perspective I have when I'm examining the Bible. The Bible spans approximately 4,000 years with over 3,000 characters named in Scripture providing accounts for hundreds of events. Of course, it doesn't tell us everything that happened over that time frame. If it did, it wouldn't be, we wouldn't have time to read it because of all the events that actually happened. But it does highlight key people and events from which we can learn about God and how to navigate this fallen world. We read about the amazing interactions with God by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, and so many others who had very unique circumstances among not only their peers, of all history. These are some pretty unique circumstances that these men got to interact with God. And if I compare myself to them, I can definitely see similar character flaws in me that are highlighted in them. But I can't think of any of these grand stories for which I can say I've been in a similar circumstance. God asking me to sacrifice my son didn't happen, right? Physically wrestling with God or his angel, not had that interaction either. God asking me to having jealous brothers sell me to a foreigner in order to rise to power to save my family and nation. Nope, that didn't happen in my life either. I'd seen that happen. Or God instructing me through a burning bush to go free his people enslaved by the most powerful worldly power at the time. Not seeing that either. So relating with those circumstances doesn't really happen. It's kind of, I don't relate there. I can relate with the flaws, don't necessarily relate with that circumstance. I hear these stories and I'm amazed that God revealed himself to these individuals in a mighty way and called them to represent him in addressing significant challenges. Most of our lives, we face some level of challenge. For some, it is the same challenge every day, dealing with chronic pain, disease, or loss of someone very close. For others, it may be occasional confrontations with people who oppose us in the marketplace or our respective communities. Challenges come in many shapes, sizes, and frequencies. It is something common to us all because we live in a world where everything is moving to a state of disorder, and physical death is in our future at some point. And although the vast majority of our challenges are not on the biblical level, they may seem impossible to us, and facing them still takes faith and commitment. Gideon faced a seemingly impossible challenge. God had allowed the neighboring nations to overpower the people of Israel, and they far outnumbered the Israelites. The verse says, "They lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance." I'm a Marine, and we're used to taking on challenges. We usually say, a platoon of Marines can take on anything. And, we talk really good about that. But I wouldn't want to be facing a group that's outnumbered me that many, right? It's daunting to anybody. I don't care how well you're trained. You see a force that's significantly larger than you, it makes you question. It'll cause you to really say, okay, am I really ready for this? So Gideon and his men seeing this huge force there, I can imagine the doubts that are going through their mind and the hesitation to head that way. Every time I read about Gideon, it is not the character traits of Gideon that stand out to me. After Gideon lays out his fleece to get confirmation two times, God instructs him to reduce the number of men to go into battle with him against the innumerable enemy. The number of men with Gideon goes from 32,000 down to 10,000 and then ultimately down to 300. And they are not equipped with rocket launchers, unlimited ammo, or unlimited lives in this video game, right? This is a life or death situation. They're given trumpets. I've never been given a trumpet in my preparation for battle. It would cause me to question a little bit of what's going on here. What I'm impressed with when I read this story is the faith of these 300 men. At least Gideon had the direct interaction with God. God even sent Gideon into the enemy camp to hear how afraid they were of Gideon. But these 300 men just had to claim from Gideon. I can imagine Gideon telling them, hey guys, I know we are totally outnumbered. Can't even count them, can't even see the end of them. I've confirmed with God through a fleece getting wet and then getting dry, and that's why we only need you 300, and we've sent everybody else home. All the 31,000 fighting men, we sent them home. Just you 300, because my fleece got wet and it got dry again. Oh, and I overheard one of the enemy soldiers telling his dream about barley bread knocking down his tent, and his friend said it must be Gideon defeating them. So just trust me that God is with us. Now grab your trumpets and follow me. I don't know what he actually said. You know, I really have no idea what Gideon said to them or what God was doing within them to get the 300 men to follow Gideon. But they followed, and the Lord gave them an amazing victory. Oh, to have the courage of those men to follow a flawed man following an incredible God. Because Gideon was flawed. We've got two other guys that will be speaking this month that I think will be pointing that out clearly. Most of us may never get a direct call from God like Gideon to go lead others to do something impossible. But I am certain we will or have been called at some point to follow someone who has. What would it take for you to commit to someone or something with such abandon to your personal well-being as those 300 men did with Gideon? And so today, as you go to your tables, I've got those questions there to address that. Because, again, I've never had God speak directly to me in a burning bush, call me, you know, do a lot of amazing presentations, but I know God has spoken to men around me that have called them to great things and probably asked me to be on their team. And I think all of us are probably in that position at some point. Thank you. Enjoy the discussion at your tables, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Jason. Thank you for leading this month. I'm looking forward to those other two guys throughout the rest of this month. We're going to spend the rest of the time at our tables around those questions that Jason created. So table captains, I'm going to give the floor to you guys.